Well, I'd like to start out today just by talking about what Pastor Gary talked about at the beginning of this year. And even though the year we're heading into the 11th month, you know, we're still in the 10th, but we're heading into the 11th month, there's still enough time to see every one of these things happen in your life. Pastor Gary prayed, like he prays, and this, you know, we want to know what God's speaking to the congregation when Pastor Gary's in a position like that. And so he spends time and the Spirit of God speaks to him. Just like he speaks to each one of you, and the things that he says oftentimes bear witnesses in your heart, like, oh, God was just telling me that today. Isn't that something? I'm getting a confirmation. You know, God's like that, and he's into restoring and helping us grow in him so we understand him more. So, but he wrote this down, and he felt like God was speaking to his heart, and he said, 2016 shall be a year of recovery. You know, so recovery from what? Recovery from a bad life. Yeah, I don't know. It's recovery from loss that's occurred not only, you know, presently, but in your past, you know, as far back as that can go. 2016 shall be a year of restoration. Just like how that word just rolls off my tongue, restoration. You know, one time my brother contracted with somebody to fix the roof. He tore off all the shingles. It was kind of a flat roof you could walk on. You know, I happened to be like working in there a little bit, and then I kind of walked out and had everything all tore off. And then one moment, the whole roof from one end of the house to the other just fell in. All the insulation, all the boards and plywood, it's just like he stepped in the wrong place and it just all just came in. And the whole house was ruined. Do you know what insurance did? It restored everything back or better to the original condition. You know, that's God's business. God's business is to restore. We don't have to do that. We don't have the power to do that. All we have the power to do is to believe and to trust him. And that's our part. 2016 shall be a year of rest. Oh, just take a deep breath. Say, I'm resting. You know, oftentimes our flesh is the most resistant to that. We just want to keep going and going, and we got to get that stuff done. And I know in my own life, I've got lots of categories of areas that I work on. And when God leads me in a direction, that's where I go. And then I might not be totally finished with it, but I stop. You know, might need to be going to bed. It's a break. I don't want to be staying up till 1 a.m. I've done that. You know, unless the Lord speaks something or puts it on my heart specifically. You know, there's rest in following the Lord. You know, and we have to take the time. And I know what I do is I say, okay, Lord, should I be doing this right now? Or I'll even know in my heart or my head. It'll just be like, you know, you should move on to this. Now's the time to go and do this. You know, I'm not generating any of that. It just feels like it's coming from me, like I'm thinking it, but it's just, you know, my day just fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. It may seem like a mess in the beginning of the day, but I tell you, by the end of the day, all those pieces have fit together, you know, and doing God's work doesn't mean you have to witness to 10 people. Doing God's work is to do the business that's in front of you and doing it well and listening to the Lord. And sometimes you're talking to people, you know, the way you talk to them, you know, someone might have done you wrong, or maybe you got shorted something, or something was by accident. You know, you always find out. You always get information first before you make a judgment. And then try not to make a judgment. You know, try not to judge people. You know, give them as much breath and breaks as they can, as you can manage with the grace that you have. Because God gives you grace. Think of how much grace he gives you. So, 2016 shall be a year of revival. Okay, I would say all of us have experienced that. We are in revival right now. You know, God's speaking, God's changing, God's moving our hearts. You know, and he's making a difference in our lives. But the year's not over. You know, revival is not getting all worked up because we're going to have a revival meeting next month with a special speaker. It's not getting yourself all worked up, but it's just doing the things that God's telling you to do every single day. You know, when it's on your heart to read the scripture, when you're sitting there and you have some time, just open up the Bible and just start reading. Just let them speak to your heart. You don't have to put any time limit on it. You don't have to put any, I got to read like a chapter. Because sometimes those chapters are like 99 verses. It's like you look at that and you go, oh, my chapter today, I'm exhausted. You know, but you don't have to do that. You know, and keep in mind, it's your relationship with the Lord. You know, your flesh is going to put up resistance, definitely. Your flesh is just going to feel flat most of the time. When you come here, it's like, well, after I walk out of here, I feel like I could just do anything for God. Well, you can do anything for God when you get up in the morning. You know, and sometimes you just have to say that. You know, I say some things when I get up in the morning. I speak to my body. You know, has to be in line with the Word of God. It has to be well. It has to be healthy because that's what God promises in his Word. You know, I have to have the victory. Not I'm going to get the victory. I don't pray, God, give me the victory. It's like I have the victory because he's already given it through Jesus Christ. You know, we are born again. You know, we are a new creature in Christ. The old man has passed away. Whatever was in us before we accepted Christ is gone. And now it's a mix between our spirit and the Holy Spirit, and we're a brand new person. So we live by a whole different set of rules. And those are called God rules. And those rules can be found in the Bible. You know, so, and then why are we doing all this? It says it's for positioning, you know. Businesses like to be in the right position at the right time. You know, when you're heading into heating season, those co-ops like to have lots of propane and natural gas on hand because they're going into a cold period and they want to have that stuff. And then they want to buy it at the cheapest part of the year. So they're buying it when nobody cares about it, you know, in the summer, you know, when the price is cheap. So positioning is getting yourself in the right position. And we're doing all this because 2016 shall be a year of preparation that will lead to Pentecost of 2017, the spiritual birthday of the church and a spiritual turning point for the world. I would tell you that spiritual turning point is here right now. Something just, I don't know if it's just me, but it just felt like it just crossed the line just recently. Like, we're living in a different world. We're living in a different place, you know. And the time that we have to treat our time as valuable, you know. Therefore, speak recovery, believe restoration, seek rest, and live revival every day. Every day. Don't be satisfied, you know. Don't be satisfied with a few little breadcrumbs left on the counter. Just grab that refrigerator handle door, pull out that dozen eggs, and make that huge omelet with that cheese and stuff. You know, get into the things of God. You know, some of us are playing around the edge of the things of God. Some of us are ankle deep in the water playing with the things of God. But God wants us all the way in. All the way. He wants us following him with all our hearts. And that's going to be different for everybody. That's going to look different on different people. You know, that's why we can't compare and compete with other people, because we've got a whole different ministry and calling. The quarterback doesn't compete with the linebacker because he's on the team. He's on the same team. They've got different roles. You know, one blocks, One scurries around, tries to throw that ball down the field and try to get it to somebody's hands on their own team. So we all have different places in the body of Christ. So that's the great thing. So hallelujah. All right. If you could turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs was a book that King Solomon wrote. And that whole story was Solomon was a child of David, King David. And Solomon sought the Lord with all his heart. And God said, ask me what I can give you. Ask me what I can do for you. And what's neat about that is we're not in the place of Solomon anymore. Because in, I think it's 2 Peter 1:3, where it talks about God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, you know, but the Old Testament was a different time. So Solomon said, give me wisdom, you know, so I can lead your people. And Proverbs, a lot of those Proverbs came, all of them pretty much came from Solomon. And when you read them, you know, my wife and I often read a chapter a night. We've been doing this for years. And it's just like, you would think you'd get tired of the same old stuff over and over again. 31 chapters in Proverbs, 31 days in a month. You're reading whatever that day is on that book in the month. And you think you'd just get tired of it, but you don't, because it's alive. It's fresh, you know, because God wants to make it fresh for you. He wants to bring it alive to you. So start in Proverbs chapter 4. Let's say verse 3 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And then he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you have embraced her. She will give you your head. She will give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Okay. So this is probably the most important thing in the book of Proverbs, this statement. Get wisdom and get understanding. And it's not just, well, I'm just going to give you wisdom. I'm just going to give you wisdom one time and that's it. No, it's a process of getting wisdom and getting understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of your mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. You know, there's a difference between wisdom and understanding. You know, a person going to college, let's say you're going to college as an engineer, and you go all the way through all those classes, and you have the understanding of being an engineer, but you've never been out in the real work world. And so you don't have any knowledge, real knowledge of how to apply what you've learned until maybe you're an apprentice and you start seeing how to do things. That's the wisdom aspect. You're taking what you know and you're applying it to the things that are most important. And so you have to ask yourself, what are the things that have value in your life? Because the wisdom of God will show you these things. You know, what are the things that are the most important? I would say the most important thing in my life is my spiritual walk. I want to know how to walk closer with the Lord. I just do. You know, I don't want to get up to heaven and say, man, you know, I wanted you over here, but you were way over there. You know, when you're a child of God, God will show you where to go and what to do. He'll just do that because he says, you're my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. So there's promises there that say God will help you and show you what path to be on. So your spiritual walk is your most important thing in your life. And I don't think we would get that far unless God was living inside of us. That's why we're born again. You know, that's why we're brand new people. We're a brand new creation in Him, because now we don't have to be like Solomon and pray to God. God is living inside of us. We can just say, Lord, what do I do in this situation? How do I do it? You know, or you're reading the Word. I've been reading the Word at times, and I'll go, what does this mean? And, you know, sometimes it doesn't come just like that. You know, I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll read it. Pray in the Spirit. I'll read it. You know, and because God knows, I want to know. It's not a matter of Him holding something back. I'm gonna keep this back until He proves to me that He really wants to know it. No, it's nothing like that at all. It's like, would you do that to your kids? Man, don't put God on a different level than you. You know, don't think that He made us in a certain way, and oftentimes we act very similar to the way He acts because He made us. You know, we were made in His image. So don't abandon common sense. But it says, you know, that wisdom will help you understand, you know, the things you need to do to grow. Like, what other things have value? You know, I think the major thing around me that has value is not my house, is not the things I own, is not property, is not my car. You know, because all these things are just physical things. The things that have the most value in my life are people. And when the Lord is living inside of you, He is going to use you. He is in a position to use you to help and to influence other people. You know, and that's what He wants to do. You know, He says, we're co-laborers with Him. You know, He's doing a work, but yet He's saying, I want you to come along with me and do it. I don't want to do it by myself. And what's the third thing that has value? And I would say the world around me. You know, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, and I thought about this for a while, and I thought, you know, what can I do? You know, I was thinking about Pastor Gary. He's only in Delavan, Wisconsin. He's not going into all the world. But yes, he really is. He's going to Wisconsin Rapids this week. He's like getting out of his comfort zone, Walworth County, and he's going to a different place. You know, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you know, wait for the promise. You know, wait for the day of Pentecost so I can send the Holy Spirit. But then you shall go to Jerusalem, you shall preach my word in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So not everybody goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. Pastor Shelley does. Isn't that amazing? That's an uttermost part of the earth. Ghana, Africa. You know, I think about going to Ghana, Africa, and I go, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with that. But if God was leading me to do that, it'd be okay. You know. So Pastor Shelley has gone through that barrier of fear, you know, about going to another country and being exposed to different things. There's grace for everything that God tells us to do. So these are the most important things. God will give you wisdom in each one of these categories of your life. Your spiritual walk, you know, how to deal with your friends and family, and then ultimately how to reach out to the world. So, hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, book written by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul wrote a lot of these short little books, and they were meant to be passed around and read to, you know, when one church was done with it, they'd pass it on to another church. So all these books circulated in the early church. You know, that's how, when they got to the third century, you know, and they needed to put these, actually fourth century, they needed to put these books into what we know as the current Bible. A lot of these were very easy because they had been circulating for centuries, and people, the church knew, yeah, Matthew belongs in this book because we've been using it for hundreds of years now, you know. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, "But of the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Isn't it understanding, and I try to wrap my mind around this, but I've heard people say this, that we right now are closest to Jesus coming back than any other people right now. We're closest. You know, and it's not a surprise to any of us. You know, we might not know all the dates and times and all the places in the Bible, you know, where it says these things, but we know the Holy Spirit's been witnessing in our hearts that something is different. You know, God is moving, something is happening. You know, we see the world changing, but yet we know God is being lifted up more and more powerfully. So, so we ourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon you and travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. See, we're in a different position than the world. The world is in darkness. The world doesn't know what's going to happen. But we know what's going to happen. We know there might be a bumpy road, you know, but we're seeing the signs. Bumpy road. Brace yourself. You know, some things we do to prepare and get ready. You know, Holy Spirit's positioning our lives. So we're learning these things. So when things happen, we are not surprised. In fact, if you ever are in trouble or in a situation and it seems like it's come on you suddenly, you know, and you got a moment, I would say, just take a minute and say, "Lord, what should I do?" You know, don't be in a hurry just to react to something. You know, get God's thought and God's ideas, because oftentimes the first thing that comes up when we're confronted with something hard is our flesh. Our flesh just wants to jump out at it. But we've got to wait and say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, what do we need to do in this situation?" You know, because God will give you the wisdom. You know, and that's a promise. You know, there's no doubt about that. He will show you what to do because you're His child. You know, you're asking, "Hey, I need help." You're not saying it in a disrespectful way. You just say, "Hey, I need some help. I need some wisdom." And God will give you the understanding on how it all fits together. You know, I can't tell you how many times where I've prayed. I used to work at a rescue mission. People would come into my office and they would unload on me this whole, their whole life. And it just seemed like, wow, that is like the worst story I've ever heard. God, what do I tell this person and where do I start? And I just wouldn't know what to say. Because I wanted that wisdom. I needed that understanding. But more importantly, that person needed the wisdom of God because they weren't in a position to receive it for themselves. So God will show you exactly what people need. And you know, sometimes you don't do it quite right. You know, you don't say everything you need to say because sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you pictures of things. You'll kind of see something in your heart like, okay, this is what's going on and this is how I should approach that. But it's like when we say it, it just doesn't come out exactly the way we see it. And God knows that too. And he's working with the people because the Holy Spirit oftentimes, we could be standing up here, any minister could be standing up here and they could be saying something. And the Holy Spirit brings two things together, and it has nothing to do with what the person is saying. It is because the Holy Spirit can do those things because he's God. So, and then it says, verse 5, you are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So how do you watch and be sober? Well, I think part of that, you know, it's not a matter of earning anything, but it's a matter of spending time with the one you love. It's a matter of spending time with the Savior, whether in prayer, reading the Word, but just taking some time, quieting yourself down, and just spending some time with Him. You know, and it looks different for everybody. It might be 3 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. It might be an hour in the morning, a couple times during the day. You know, there's times where, you know, I was at work and all these things were happening and it just felt like a whole big circus was just revolving around me. All these different things happening. And I pray for like 30 seconds and bang, everything comes in order. You know, how does that happen? It's the Spirit of God working in our lives. You know, none of us are in a position where we're more special than the other. God does these things because he loves each one of us. You know, very, very much. It says verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for helmet the hope of salvation. You know, we need that helmet in the last days because we are bombarded with so much garbage, so much junk, because it says in Romans 8 that it says, don't be conformed to this world. You know, if you're conforming something, you're putting something into a mold. And oftentimes you're pushing it down so it fits in that mold. That's what the world is trying to do, is trying to fit you into that mold. You know, and, you know, if I'm stepping on any toes, just forgive me now. But if a lot of time is watching the media, because the media is of the world system, you're going to be affected and influenced by that system. You can't say, I'm not, but you are. Now, does God leave you? No, he's there right with you. His grace is right with you, but sometimes there's a dulling that happens. You know, sometimes when I do that, when I spend a day and I overload on media, you know, I don't sense that peace in my life, you know. And so sometimes I just have to spend an hour just to fellowship with him, and then bang, that peace is there. Yeah, I don't like to go anywhere without that peace. If I'm not, I've been walking in this stuff for decades, and I'm so used to the peace of God that I don't want to go anywhere without it. You know, because if you're in a rush, I don't want to be in that situation where I pull out into that intersection and I get smashed because I'm in such a rush. I got to get there. I got to do this. You know, when you're listening to the Lord, just following that peace of God, you know, things are different in your life. You know, you think, well, I need to get over there in a hurry. But when the peace of God is in your life, you'll think, oh, I'll get there. I'll get there when I need to. I tell you, this happens like over and over again, and maybe I should ask my wife to put her fingers in her ears so she's not listening to this. But we have to get somewhere at a certain time. So I perceive that she is making me late. Okay? And so we got to get there at this certain time. Okay? And it seems like it has to be like real high percentage, like 95 out of 100. Maybe even like 90, 97, 98, even 90, maybe even 100%. It seems like we get there right on time. Every time. But I'm perceiving that she's holding me up and making me late. But there's times, you know, you got to step back and get in that presence, have that presence with you. And it doesn't take 3 hours to do that. It just takes, okay, Lord, I'm going to change my attitude right now, and I just thank you that I've got your peace, and I'm going to wait on you. You know, and you'll notice that presence of God just change the situation, you know. So that helmet of salvation, oftentimes for me, is saying to myself, I'm a victor because of what Christ did. You know, that helmet protects my head from the thoughts and the things of this world. Some nonsense thought will come across my head, and I don't even want to say the stuff because it's just so stupid. And I'll just say, no, that's not true. You know, I've got victory in this situation. And I'm not just telling you this like right now. I do this in my life because I don't want to be satisfied with less. You know, I want to be all in. And I'm working on it. You know, I'm not saying I'm there 100% of the time, but I'm getting there. You know, I want to say I'm all in 100% of the time. Amen. So it says, verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no wrath in our future. There's no wrath of God in our future. Hallelujah. Because Jesus took all the wrath on the cross. You know, Jesus didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins. You know, he took the hammer, God's hammer of judgment, pounded in that cross. Well, Jesus was on it. You know, and it says, he who knew no sin, this is 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm trying to think what that means. He became sin. It's like Dennis in his white suit goes to Pastor Gary's party with the church and says, I want to participate in the mud pull. So he's in his white suit and he's pulling tug of war on his side all by himself and the rest of the church on the other side because they just got to see him land in that mud with his white suit and his white pants. And so that's what happens. Bang. So Dennis becomes dirty. It's like Jesus on the cross became dirty for us in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. You know, and I'd love to go on with this a little bit more, but there's victory for us in this area. You know, he took our shame. He took everything that we feel in a negative way, and he took that on the cross and gave us the victory. And I promise you that if you're struggling with something, God will meet you and deliver you with that. Just hang on, spend time with Him, get to know Him, and you have that victory already. I mean, you can take it tonight. You know, God's presence is here, and just simply just saying, I receive that. I receive victory. I receive victory in this area. You know, because you have it. Okay, verse 11 says, wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another, even also as you do. And we beseech you, brothers, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, that's the big thing in this day, and we see it in society, is division. You know, we're not one country. We're a divided country. We cannot be a divided body of Christ. You know, and that's not saying we roll over and take a bunch of junk, but it's in my view, my vision of that is, you know, just in this church is just getting behind Pastor Gary and Shelley, praying for them, you know, being a participant in the body of Christ, doing the things God's telling me to do, because they never tell me to do anything, you know, but there's things that God tells me to do that I need to do. And if I don't do it, I'm answerable really, really to the Lord. But my attitude is to back them. And if I don't agree with something, that doesn't mean I leave the church. You know, I pray for them. I listen to the Lord. You know, the Lord put me here. You know, I'm not going to leave just on a whim. And oftentimes I understand people, that people have flesh, people get angry. And I think most of the people here are mature in the body of Christ, because I've seen you a number of times, that we can encourage one another. You know, we can make this a place of love and comfort and encouragement and welcoming. And so I'm not going to say much more than that, but and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So every now and then I feel like I need to make an apple pie for Pastor Gary, because I love him. but that's just walking in love with believers as a whole. You know, just doing what we can to encourage people, because people have a hard life. You know, in a lot of ways we're blessed because we're coming out of some things. We might be struggling, but we know this is only temporary. We know we really got the victory. So, but there's people out there that are just in darkness. They don't realize that. And we're the key that God uses to open up that door of their heart. As soon as that's open, the Holy Spirit comes in and does His work. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. This is our daily attitude. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not necessarily for everything. You know, I don't praise God if I get a flat tire, but I can praise God while I'm changing it. And I've done that. That stupid U-bolt went right through my tire wall one time. I thought, wow, that's just the devil. but I just started just jumping up and down and just praising God. Kind of strange sight to see somebody with a flat tire jumping up and down and praising God. But quench not the Spirit. You know, respect the Holy Spirit. You know, when He asks you to do something, do your best to do it. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you don't do these things, and implement them in your life, that doesn't mean you don't go to heaven. Because you're born again, you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. But you're going to have a rough time dealing with it. Your flesh is going to have a rough time. Your mind is going to be attacked. You're not going to know how to handle the things. And doing these things, letting God work in your life, He will preserve you blameless until the coming of His Son. He'll just do that. Faithful is He that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren, right here, right now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.